We are a weekly podcast, Soul of a Gamer.
Hey, I'm smart this time. Well, I did not, this
let's
time.
Let's not go that far, okay?
I will fuck it up again.
I love pressing that button. That was my favorite button.
That's definitely.
This game gets really fucking weird.
So you do acid and then you go into the hamster shit.
And this week is
Night Trap.
Night Trap.
They're right behind you, Night Trap.
10-year-old birthday party. Next scene, kill the kid.
You got to kill the kid. Sha la 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 la, car is coming. Throw your body into the car and die. All I could do every time I was playing Ethan was just would start walking around and go, Jason!
Oh, God. It's just...
In a world of complete domination, two guys and a podcast.
I don't know. This is the story, right? It's happening, actually, right now, at this moment.
We're in the now?
Yeah, we're in the now.
Oh, shit. Kind of like on Spaceballs where they're watching themselves. Wait, so this is when? This is now.
This
so
is
that was
now.
Then.
I love space. I love that. It's like... The combing the desert. We ain't found shit.
Shit.
it's so good.
There's so many good things in that.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time. That's probably one of the best movies ever made.
Yes. I actually just did a review for this coming out today on my other review channel, Rose Colored Film Reviews, on TikTok.
I hope it was good because it's literally one of the best movies.
Oh, yeah. Clay, actually, our friend. Told me I should do it, and I was already planning on doing it because of the sequel coming out. So I was like, I need to rewatch it.
Are they doing a sequel?
Yeah, Mel Brooks came out and said they're doing a sequel. And Rick Moranis
is like 150 years old. What
and
the
Rick
fuck
Moranis
is
coming out of retirement to play Dark Element.
Oh, that's sweet. I think Mel Brooks are really good friends back in the day.
I know, but it's so cool to see Rick Moranis coming back. It sounds amazing. I just die at the thought of seeing his Spaceballs too.
All right, well, welcome back, everybody.
Yes, welcome.
I'm Scott.
I'm Steven.
And every week, well, we are Soul of a Gamer podcast. Every week we tell you about a game we're playing or every other week or something. And yeah, that's it. That's the whole thing.
So what the fuck are you playing this week?
Oh, yeah. So we start this out with what the fuck are we playing? I'm still playing Dragon Age Inquisition. I'm actually liking it a lot. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah, I still have a long way to go. I think I've already. Yeah, third one. I was debating because Steam has all these games on sale right now. I just bought Hogwarts Legacy or Hogwarts, whatever.
I've played probably 10 hours into that so far. It's pretty decent. Yeah. Like, it's actually like, I'm not a huge Harry Potter nerd at all. Like, I've watched the movies once because a friend forced me to, and I never read any of the books, but the game's actually pretty entertaining. Like, the magic's really sweet.
I've heard that too, and I wanted to try it, so, but... Inquisition, I saw Veilguard was on there too, and I was like, should I do Veilguard? I heard it's like the stupidest game in the world.
I heard that there are fans for it, and actually it's got a lot of really good reviews.
Yeah,
but
it's
the thing
the
was,
woke crowd it was like super high in there, I guess.
One of the things I heard, which was really shitty about it, was I think if I remember right, the company that was making it got... Like, they were making it as a single-player experience, then they got told to make it a like live-action service game.
Yeah,
and then worked on it as a live action service game for 2 years. And then they got told, no, we're not doing live action because of how much live actions are failings right now. And had
live
to switch
you
back.
You keep saying live action.
Live
service. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
Live service. Yeah. Live service. I've been watching too many movies.
Live action. Live action.
You know what you should do for a movie before you continue?
Yes.
Last Action Hero.
Ooh, that would be fun, actually.
That would be fun.
I'm going to write that one down.
It's a great one. Yeah, you know, and... A buddy of mine showed me a video of the game where, like, they just, I don't know. Like, yes, there is a place for social injustice in gaming, right?
Yeah.
There's a place for that. In games like Life is Strange, it's a great place for it because it really, like, envelops, like, teenage angst and young adult life. But in Dragon Age, I don't know if, like, having, because one of the characters in there is essentially, they're called the Kunari.
Okay.
And they're like religious zealots. They follow the Kun, which is their religious practice, blah, 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 all this shit. And some of them are kind of outside the box, but most of the ones you meet are like super religious, super like top down, exactly what you expect them to be. And this one is like, well, I'm non-binary. What? in the Kunari.
Just kind of blatantly like saying it like without being.
Yeah, it was
asked
like a whole
kind of cutscene
like very... they basically made for the game, and I'm like, was this really necessary in this game? Like, yes, I believe it's necessary in some games because there's a culture for it, but in Dragon Age, you're dealing with medieval shit where people are fucking getting blown to pieces, and
you're dealing with fantasy medieval shit, and there was still a lot of queer stuff in medieval times.
Yeah, which is fine, but they've always done like the same-sex marriages or the same-sex relationships in the games, but I think they're going a little bit too far with that one. That one just feels like a little bit too far. Maybe push that into a more modern realization of the game, because that doesn't really serve anyone anything. It feels like it's pandering.
I think there's something to say about the pandering there, especially when it's just like a character is just like, hi, my name's Bob. I'm non-binary.
No,
like,
but that's not the
like,
thing. That's
forcibly,
not what they did.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying like if it was in that context, I get why some people are like, hey, that's a little like forceful or whatever. But like if it's kind of just like nonchalantly that the character's that way, then I don't really care. Because like
if they write it uniquely into the game, so they actually included like a cool coon expression, I guess, that goes along with their feelings, and the character's like, no, why don't you understand? The term is non-binary. And I'm like, why would you even use the term in this medieval sense? Like, I get it, but this is not where it is.
I mean, we
make
always
mix modern language with the times of
I know,
whatever,
but it's just, it was silly. That's a silly one. I would have probably changed that a tiny bit to more fit into the realm of Dragon Age rather than like fitting into your own personal experiences.
I just always love that, like, sometimes there's a problem, like everyone's okay with fucking a bear in Baldur's Gate 3, but then like someone says the word non-binary and it's like, why? It's like, you fucked a bear, dude. And there's
context.
A new game now where you just like fuck every, you can, it's a dating simulator, but you can date every object in an entire house. You can date the toilet, you can date the refrigerator, and they actually become like a either like gender-based being of that thing. It's
what if
super
I wanted-
weird.
What if I wanted to remain a toilet seat?
Well, then don't look at it with your special date glasses. It's like an AR thing. You like look at something and like want to date it or something, and then it comes to life.
Okay. Well,
I don't know.
Point
it's weird.
Being,
but
I think the game is probably good. I just think they went a little bit too hard on the woke stuff. They could have just
fair.
Either dialed it back or changed it to fit into the Dragon Age scheme of things. Like, and that's the biggest problem is they just made it more like it's happening right now rather than happening in the world of Dragon Age.
Yeah, I guess I'd have to also like play the game because like if it comes out in a, like a good context in the game, then I don't mind it.
But I don't think it did. The cutscene I was shown was not, it's like very forced out in the open.
Okay.
Which maybe that's a representation of how it is in like families and shit. That's the only way you could do it or something. But
I mean, sometimes
Dragon Age is weird.
Have that Band-Aid effect. Like, I just got to do it fast. Like, I'm just going to come out and just fucking say it because I don't want to wait forever, or I don't want to like,
I guess I'm not. I guess. Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah. So Veilguard, I've heard, is okay, but they got review bombed for all the wokeness. So,
yeah, I try to just avoid everything I see with review bombing because review bombing seems to always come from a place of like hate and not actually for the
for
game.
Sure.
It just comes from a place of hate.
I think
in
Metacritic
the world.
Even removed all the reviews because of
that. I know. And a lot of times they end up doing that. Like during a certain time, they're just like, okay, all these reviews, like, because it's like you're just being ridiculous. Like a certain character or a certain cast member being part of a game and then like getting review bombed. It's like, okay, you know, there's 100,000 people that worked on that project and you're mad at it because of one person, but
there's other things too. They made like the previous game open world and this game was more level based, which is kind of weird for a Dragon Age game.
No, I mean, I get like the differences and I know like that franchise has kind of been off and on. It seemed like a little bit.
I mean, their first three games were hot and on, but
Veilguard
just not so much.
Okay. Yeah. But I think anytime a studio is kind of going like, we're going to go live service, we're going to go live service. We're gonna go nuts.
You know who made Dragon Age?
EA.
Yeah. Well, yeah. BioWare made them, and EA is the publisher, and EA just demands money.
Yeah, EA is just the worst. You know, can't work.
Can we have microtransactions to sell like cool clothing in the game?
No,
can we do that? No, I wouldn't sell my soul.
I'm gonna create.
Yeah, would not sell it at all.
Yeah. But yeah. The fuck I've been playing this week. I actually. The new, it's like a spinoff game. It's not a sequel. It's Lost in, well, it's kind of pseudo sequel. Lost in Random, The Eternal Die. This was kind of shadow dropped on Game Pass. It wasn't too much like
not a lot,
advertising
not a lot
for it
going.
Or anything.
Is that one of the studios that Xbox owns?
I think so, yeah.
Makes it? Okay, well, that's going to be closed.
I don't know about that. Maybe. Dude, possibly.
Closing everything.
They're closing some of the ones, but like people are talking about like Perfect Dark. I don't even want Perfect Dark to come out. You know how many times that's been canceled or like rescheduled?
I didn't even
or
like
postponed.
The Perfect Dark game, so I don't know why the fuck.
Yeah, I don't
more.
Either. So like it's so funny that like this thing's been postponed for like 10 years and people are like, we're never going to see it now. It's like it was never going to come out in a state you wanted to, with how much it keeps getting pushed back and postponed and keeps switching staff and stuff. It wouldn't have come out great.
Well, there's it's no like. Black Flag, Skull and Bones?
Yeah, Skull and Bones is a perfect example of
Bones?
Skull and Bones, I think.
Skull and Bones, okay, yeah. Yeah, like that took forever, and then when it came out, people were not happy.
Yeah, and it's taking a long time for that to even... There are games that do come back and coming around, like No Man's Sky, but that took, what, 6 years for it to get to the place where they promised it to be from the start? Like,
well, and the game we're playing today actually kind of hits on those levels too.
Yeah, that's fair. So, I've heard that a lot actually.
Yeah.
But yeah,
you got it at its best. You didn't play it at its worst, which was funny.
True. Lost in Random, The Eternal Die actually is it's weird because it's a roguelike, but it's almost roguelike in the way that like Hades is. If you've ever played Hades, for anybody listening, I know you haven't, but
what is that,
it's
a dig?
No, I just know that
what,
you
is
don't
that a dig
play
at
that
me?
Style of game.
How fucking dare you? I just know you haven't.
Well, I just knew you wouldn't be wanting to play that
I
game.
I know you
I
ate the last piece of chocolate cake, Scott.
It's just not you. But yeah, no, like my brother Corey loves that game, and I got him the second one for his birthday, I think last year even.
Nice.
But the game's really reminiscent of that, but I will say it's the easiest roguelike I've ever played. I actually beat it through the end boss one time in 6 hours.
Nice.
So honestly, it's really a simple roguelike. If you want to like get your first introductory into roguelikes, that's a good one. And it's kind of cool because it is you play as the queen, the evil queen in the first game, actually.
Nice.
Like after
she's defeated. I was going to say, during like the moments where she was cool.
She gets trapped in the Shadow Realm, but she's trapped in the Shadow Realm as her younger self, like when her and her sister
first.
Does
she meet Pegasus?
She does not.
She meet Yuki? Does she meet Kaiba?
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know. Those names sound really familiar. It's an anime of some sort.
That's the bad place.
That's fair.
I go to the Shadow Realm, Yuki.
The show that much, honestly. I only watched a couple episodes.
All right, well, she's in the Shadow Realm after she's defeated.
Yes.
Well, she kind of like turned face at the end of the game, too, and became like sort of good.
I think this is like the time like when you defeated her, she like went to the Shadow Realm and then like comes back maybe or I don't know when this happens, but it's like she's in the Shadow Realm and the realms she has to like actually you actually meet some of the old bosses that you took out in the first game or that she actually like killed or trapped in certain dice worlds or something like that, like the different like the Frog Witch and stuff like that. You have to fight her again. You have to talk to some of the people that you like were really bad too, and they're like, oh yeah, no, we all want to get out of this place. This is just a repeating loop of death and it's awful, so help us please.
You put us here, but please get us out.
Yeah, pretty much. It's kind of interesting. It's kind of a unique lore to it, and it does kind of add more lore to the queen, which is really interesting. You didn't get a ton of her backstory in the game. Yeah. So
all right.
But yeah, so it's a Game Pass game, so you don't have to pay for it if you have Game Pass.
Yeah, I think I'm going to play that because I love Lost in Random so much.
Yeah, so it's definitely worth a playthrough. Honestly, it's unique. It's fun. It almost kind of feels like the kind of controls of like, I don't know if you played Minecraft Legends or whatever that was.
Yes, the dungeon one, the dungeon crawler.
Yeah, the dungeon crawl one. It's kind of like that. It's okay. A very top-down mechanics. You have a certain like roguelike build.
Yeah,
Every time you die, you're at this camp base and you can upgrade your stats so you can permanently keep getting stronger even though you're redoing runs every time.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's got a nice RPG system with that at least. And you can pick like four unique weapons that you can upgrade in four different combat trees. It's unique. It's good.
Okay, sweet. All right. Well, let's just jump right into this then with the background of hell, State of Decay. I don't know if we said that's our game we're playing. State of Decay 2. Which there's not a lot of information on the making of State of Decay 2. I did watch an hour-long video with like a couple of the makers, but they didn't really say a lot. They more like said about how they made the first game. So over the studio itself has only made two games and State of Decay 1 and 2. So we'll go a little bit over the studio too. In the world of video games, few titles capture the gritty reality of a zombie apocalypse like State of Decay 2. Announced on June 13, 2016, State of Decay 2 is the highly anticipated sequel to Undead Lab's surprise hit, State of Decay, which had originally launched back in 2013. Developed by Undead Labs and published by Microsoft Studios, the sequel promised to be bigger, more dangerous, and far more unpredictable than its predecessor. From the very beginning, the vision for State of Decay 2 was clear. Build on the survival element fans loved, while addressing the number one request that poured in after the first game. Multiplayer.
Fair.
Yep, yep. During the first game, the first game, there is no multiplayer. You're just playing on your own. And then this kind of game needs fucking multiplayer because it seems like it's built for it.
It really does. It does.
Yeah. Like, and it's like, Steven, I'm sure you played it with the single player only, but if you were to open up your world and just let people join, it's actually a lot of fun. Like, people just drop in, hang out, help you out with missions, and then leave. Like, it's cool. And they'll bring, like, their own guns and shit, so.
That's convenient.
Okay.
Jeff Strain, the founder of Undead Labs, shared in an open letter that fans had made their voices heard. They wanted to experience the apocalypse not alone, but together. The team took that feedback to heart. They went back to the drawing board, stepped away from their original design plans, and set their sights on creating a true cooperative multiplayer experience. Now, this is a funny thing that you brought this up before, but it was... originally, State of Decay 2 had been conceptualized as a massively multiplayer online game, potentially using business models like subscriptions or free-to-play mechanics. And they also toiled with the idea of live service, too, which I thought was funny. Yep, that's exactly where it went. It's very interesting. But Undead Labs decided against that path. Instead, they created a seamless drop-in, drop-out cooperative system that didn't require players to always be online. Strain emphasized that this wouldn't be a session-based experience, but rather the easiest and most convenient multiplayer imaginable. An apocalypse you could survive on your own or with friends without disrupting the core game. A major technical shift also took place between the first and second games. While the original State of Decay had been built using CryEngine-based technology, the sequel made the leap to Unreal Engine 4. And CryEngine, I believe, was the engine that their previous, wherever they worked previously, that's what they used to make that previous game.
Okay.
So they kind of, I think they got permission to use it for their own game from the previous studio.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Nice.
This move allowed for a more immersive world, better visuals, and more complex systems. And the stakes were high. The first game had drawn over 5 million unique players, becoming a cult classic among zombie survival enthusiasts. State of Decay 2 was officially released on May 22nd, 2018 for Xbox One and Windows 10. It launched in multiple editions, a standard edition priced at $29.99, an ultimate edition $49.99, and the collector's edition that included physical extras, selling at $70, which I cannot believe this fucking game trying to sell itself at $70.
You know, it was cool that I sold for the lower amounts, honestly, like even the $30 for the base game or whatever it was.
Yeah, which is fine. It probably was a $20 game when it came out, honestly, but that's fine.
I did
hear that, yes. I mean, yes. Worth that now.
Microsoft also made the game part of Xbox Game Pass, widening its reach significantly. The timing of the release coincided with the broader change in Microsoft's gaming strategy as Xbox moved away from the traditional Games with Gold program toward a curated catalog of titles, a move that included both State of Decay games. So literally, guys, I don't know if you remember this, but before the Game Pass games, they basically gave us a free game every week, and it was always a piece of shit, awful game. Like 90% of the, not always, but 90% of the time, it was like a world of Keflings. And you're just like, okay, a world of Keflings. I guess that's what we get this time.
Yeah. But I think it was 4 free games a month.
Yeah. Was it 4? I thought it was 1.
It was, I think it was 4, but it was 2 on the 360 library and 2 on the Xbox One library, okay, or something like that. So you had to go to like both libraries and download both separately or something like that. It was weird.
And it was just kind of dumb because, again, they were never very good games. Every once in a while, they drop a pretty fun one. I think Alan Wake was one of the games that they dropped.
Yeah, but I think even that dropped year, like 3 or 4 years after it released.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
they waited years after these like AAA games drop to actually like put
you
them
wait till you
there.
Can buy the game for $10 and then they put it
exactly. But it was cool because those are your physical copies of the game. They had a really cool thing with it, so
unlike PlayStation,
you could never get them removed.
Plus, where it was like, if you don't pay for that service, you lose all those games.
Yeah. However, when State of Decay 2 finally hit the market, it received mixed to average reviews. Critics praised the game's ambition, its cooperative gameplay, and its tense survival mechanics, but many pointed to technical issues, bugs, and repetitive elements that held it back from reaching its full potential. And it's funny, because I watched this video, and one of the people in there they had was a playtester.
Okay.
And it was just so fucking, he's like, okay, so what you're going to see here is we're just like, we're testing the cars, you know, we're ramming the cars into each other. And you'll see on this first ram, I ram this guy's car, he rams me, and look what happens. And the car like starts flying into the air and infinitely turning and never stopping. And he's like, and that was a bug that we put down. It definitely needs to be fixed.
Yeah, just a little bit, just a little bit.
And some of the bugs were funny, and you could like, they panned out of the video while like looking at, I can't remember which, because there's four different maps in State of Decay 2. One of the maps, they pan out and they're like, and you're going to see what happens here. As you pan out of the video, you can see that each area was built on its own. So this map isn't like cohesively made all at the same time. Each individual area is made and then another one is added. So when you pan out, you can see one area disappear, then another area disappear. And they did this with like, I think 30 or 40 different areas for a single map.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty cool actually looking at that. And just showing some of the bugs too was pretty cool. I kind of like the playtesters. They seemed really fun.
Nice.
Let's see. Technical bugs, repetitive elements that held it back from reaching its full potential. Still, the game managed to build a loyal fan base who appreciated its focus on survival, community building, and ever-persistent or present threat of permadeath, a feature that had been part of the game's DNA from the very beginning. Despite the divided critical response, State of Decay 2 achieved recognition within the gaming industry. It was nominated for Best Add-on / DLC at Gamescom 2018 for its Daybreak expansion, which Daybreak was fucking sweet, which introduced new gameplay modes and challenges. It also earned nominations for Best Cooperative Game and Xbox Game of the Year at the 2018 Golden Joystick Awards.
Nice.
An acknowledgement of the game's commitment to delivering a shared survival experience. Undead Labs itself had an origin story as unique as the games it produced. And this is actually really funny. Founded with the sole focus of creating the ultimate zombie survival game, they literally came out and said the only thing we want to do is create zombie games.
I mean, fair.
The team spent countless hours not just coding or designing, but watching zombie films together, dissecting them, and imagining how they could do things differently. So before they even decided on a game to make, they were talking about making the studio, and they were just friends who would hang out, sit down, watch a zombie movie, and be like, what is this idiot doing? Why are they boarding up the window that way? Why wouldn't you put a board like this way? Why would you use these kinds of nails? Yeah. Why wouldn't you have this much food on hand? Like, why the hell are they going for the fucking Prius? Why aren't they going for that monster fucking truck right there?
I mean, it's, I think, really honestly, funny. Once you get so much into horror movies, that's kind of the way you watch so many horror movies. You just dissect the way people react to horror movies. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
But instead of focusing on the typical horror tropes, the jump scares, the gore, they fixated on something deeper, the community. How would real people survive? How would they manage resources? How would society crumble and rebuild in the face of scarcity and death? In fact, permadeath, the idea that any character could die permanently, wasn't always popular within the development team. Some questioned why such a harsh mechanic was necessary at all, but the commitment to authenticity and consequence won out, and permanent became one of the hallmarks of the series.
Makes it terrifying though.
It does, and you could be like really like a character and then fuck up one time.
Yes.
You try to fight one hunter and then it's a second one shows up, and I know they're not called hunters in the game, but they're hunters.
So you mean the ferals or the
feral zombies. You fight one and another one shows up and you're like, I was not prepared to fight two of you. I have to run. And then you probably can't unless your car is nearby.
Or you're like, oh, a juggernaut. That doesn't look like it's going to be too hard.
Yeah, those things I only fight with 50 cal.
I try to avoid them at all cost.
Oh, I love going and beating zombies because you get influence from doing it.
Yes, I kill everything else.
Yeah. There were other early ideas that didn't make the cut. At one point, State of Decay was envisioned as a Western zombie game set in the frontier. And this is really funny. That. But the team worried that such a setting might not resonate with players. Instead, they chose a more modern, relatable setting that echoed the survivalist fantasies of countless zombies films. But it's funny, they talked about this in the interview and they were like, yeah, you know, we were thinking like how stupid it would be to have a Western zombie because people would hate it. Like no one would like it. And then fucking Red Dead Redemption comes out with their expansion where you play a zombie.
I mean, it's true, but that's like, that's an already established universe. Like, I don't know if that would have came out separately, if that would have been as popular.
That's fair. It was just funny. They were like, it would never work. No one would ever play this. And then it became one of the most popular expansions for a game of all time.
I think anything can work as long as it's good enough.
Yeah. It's just the worry, man. It's the worry the creation, you know?
Yeah.
Undead Labs also injected humor and character into their Daybreak world of State of Decay 2. They filled the game with playful and comical art, custom posters, fake fast food advertisements, and quirky in-game brands. Even the gas stations and diners were given unique handcrafted details that added charm to the desolation. It was funny because when they were talking about all the designs in the game, they were like, yeah, you know, I remember in the 80s when I was born that there were these like really stupid ads for restaurants and I was just trying to think of shit, like random shit to put in there that a restaurant from the 80s would totally do. And they have like an entire comic book character in there called Gentleman. What was his name? Gentleman, not Undead. Gentleman. Oh, God. It's like it's a skeleton guy and there's a 5-part comic this guy wrote just for the fucking game. It's really... Gentleman something, maybe Carnage, or something like that. But it's just funny. It's a funny fucking comic. I would read that comic too. He's like, you know, I read comics in the 70s and I tried to think of something. What the hell would I read in 77? And this is what came to mind. So,
I mean, that's fair. Sometimes watching those 70s, 80s movies, you're like, what is happening right now?
Yeah. It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
For the vehicle designs, the studio brought in talent who had worked on Mad Max Fury Road, giving the game's car a rugged post-apocalyptic aesthetic inspired by one of the most visually striking films of the decade.
Yeah.
So, which I thought was funny too. The guy was a good friend of, it was like all the guys on the team had worked on like a bunch of movies before.
Nice.
And he had known this guy from working on another movie and then he went to Fury Road and he's like, can you make some cool cars for us? And the guy's like, yeah, sure, I could do that. But they had to scrap like 90% of the cars he made because they were just way too fucking much.
I know like the one car is really based off of Mad Max. The one with the barrels in the back,
yeah, they're all based off Mad Max, all of them, every single one. Over time, the game expanded with updates and new content, including the Juggernaut Edition, which overhauled many systems and addressed technical shortcomings. Players could build communities, scavenge for supplies, and survive endless waves of the undead alone or together. And the story isn't over. As of now, Undead Labs is hard at work at State of Decay 3, the next chapter in the survival saga. The studio's passion for the genre hasn't faded. They still gather, still talk zombies, and still imagine how a community might survive the end of the world. In the end, State of Decay 2 wasn't just a game about zombies. It was, and is, a game about people, survival, and fragile threads that hold civilization together when everything else falls apart. Also, they got bought out by Microsoft, so they're like now... kind of a first party publisher or developer or something.
Fair. As long as we're getting a third one, that sounds good. All right. So we get into the best and the worst now then.
Let's do it. Again, Steven did not play this game at launch. The best and the worst is far different today than it was at launch.
Yes. I'm going with the state of the game as is today. Yeah. If you were to play it on Game Pass.
Like I did.
Yes. Same.
I played at launch. I played the original game at launch too, actually. I love those games so fucking much. They're
so good. Played the original one close to launch a little bit. I didn't play it fully, but a few hours.
That game was fucking amazing. I loved it.
I didn't like
Trumbull Valley
did,
will always be my home.
There. For this, I actually think the base facility and survival resource management with like the pseudo realist nature is actually pretty great.
Yeah.
It's really like fun management system. It's a little tedious, but like it's tedious in the way that it forces you to keep going back out into the world.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, it's nice too, because they do limit the amount of supplies you can have on base, which would be the case if you were like in a zombie, but you can't just like stock up a million fucking food.
I know. And I totally get some of the reactions, but it's always so annoying when you move to a new base or something and you have way too many resources. And then for like, a long time you're, hey, we need to like do something about these resources because we keep wasting this shit and it's not good. And I'm like, yeah, I know. You quit saying that every day.
Yeah, you can upgrade your resource amounts or whatever and have one be like a super resource so you can have double of that over all the others.
True.
Which normally you'd probably want gun stuff for that.
It's very unique with that, though. And I even liked that, like, you could pull the ammo out of guns.
Yeah.
And then scrap the gun so you didn't have to have a huge inventory, just like random ass guns. Like, you could just hold your favorites and just keep getting all the ammo. Like, there was a lot of really good systems with that.
For sure. And I love the repair system in this. You can repair anything that breaks, mm-hmm. which is really nice. So if you like a gun a lot, you can repair it and you can keep repairing that one. That's your thing. It doesn't cost more to repair it every time you do, like some games do.
Yeah, I hate that shit.
Ammo is scarce in this game a lot of the time, like, and you have to really work hard. And there's a big like trading thing in this game. You trade with other like survivors that are out there that have their own bases and such. And that can be really helpful or really shitty.
I was going to say, I have mixed feelings about like the survivors and stuff, because like as soon as I became a sheriff in my own like area, like with my own like five people or whatever, like I was getting phone calls like, hey, people over here like stole some stuff from us and you need to go over here. And I'm like, you're on the other side of the map. There's through four plague hearts and I'm not going to go to you.
You didn't clear the plague hearts first before you became a leader?
There's no guy to tell you what to do first. It tells you to become a leader. You should become a leader, I think.
I usually waited on the leader until I cleared a lot of the plague hearts, just because plague hearts are annoying.
Plague hearts are very annoying, and I was trying to doing them one at a time. I was playing the game probably the exact wrong way to play this game.
That's okay.
Honestly, I was playing it fully solo. I would even go out only by one character at a time because I was so afraid of permadeath.
I usually only brought myself two, but I'm always quicker than most of the other characters are. One thing that's really cool about this game is actually the plague hearts. Essentially, it's like an infection in a building that's super bad. Mm-hmm. And when you go in, anything can happen. And a lot of the time, the way to do this is just to sneak in, like set up like a boombox outside, let it play. All the zombies go to that. You sneak in, you throw a shit ton of Molotovs or grenades at the plague heart, and it's dead. Or you bring your 50 cal, and I think five shots of a 50 cal or three shots kill it.
Yeah.
The cool part about this is that the plague hearts in this version of the game spread. So you actually spread to different houses. In the original version, they did. They just stayed in one house and that's all you got. And then you killed it and it never came back. But in this one, they spread and they kind of form new plague hearts, which is cool. So you get to constantly go out and kill plague hearts. The leader thing he's talking about, I liked a lot. There are four different leaders: sheriff, warlord,
builder,
and there's one more. I can't remember the last one.
Community one. I can't remember what
it was. So then these four leaders all have different abilities, which is really cool. So you can make like a gun press, essentially, that makes random ammo every time you use it. But if you're the warlord, you can actually make a specific kind of ammo that you want.
Nice.
The sheriff, I believe, gets the extended watchtowers, which is nice.
The watching towers, and they want to build like shooting ranges and want to keep doing
so they train people up and keep them good. Like, there's a lot of good things all around, and the best part of this game, which I'm guessing you did not get to because it requires like a new game plus, essentially.
Legacy characters?
Yeah, so you get legacy characters. You get to keep three of your characters from your original game, which is awesome. You get to go to a new map, so you're not always on the same map every time you play.
Yeah.
And you get to keep an ability based on what kind of leaders you have, and you get to choose two of them. So if you've done all four leaders like I have, you can pick the best two that fit your playstyle. And the warlord's really sweet because you can take all this ammo and guns and grenades and shit from your last place, and it gets auto put into your storage when you make a new base.
Dang, that's nice.
Yep. The sheriff, I don't remember what you get. Well, I don't remember. Yeah. One of them, too, I think the builder, you get like free electricity and free water. So you don't have to build an electric generator or something like that in a new game. Like, it's pretty sweet for that reason.
Well, and I wasn't, so like I was doing decent my first like go at it, and then I had one of my characters die fighting a plague heart.
Your first character die, it breaks your heart, man.
Broke my heart. And then I think
you try to go back for the backpack and you have another character die, and that's just awful too.
I had another character die soon after that one, and I was really sad because I lost like two of my best characters.
Yep.
And
that's just the way it goes.
I was just really annoyed with this map, and I was like, you know what? I have enough shit. I'm going to go to another map. I'm going to start all over. I'm going to start fresh, because also, like, I had not helped enough people, and I had two people die on me. So like people were asking for help and I just wasn't, because I was like, dude, I can't. I fucking need to get my own shit together. I can't go to you right now.
But this like, is like almost realistic die. Too, right? Like
no, when, I hated it. Yeah.
Like yeah.
It's so like anxiety. Like
people
no,
still
no,
rely
you.
On you like, from all over the place. Like, oh, we hear you have some resources. You... Can you help us? And you're
no,
like, no,
I
just had
two people
right now.
Die. Like, you don't understand what I'm going through right now. And then they get pissed off and they're like, we're coming after you. And I'm like, no, I'm like, I'm leaving this fucking town. Like, fuck this place.
I'm blacklisted here. I'm out.
Yeah.
But it, like, so, then that's a really cool thing, too. Like, if you are struggling in a town, you can go to a new one.
Yeah, which was really nice. And then I really liked this other town that I went to. And like, I found this like campground in the back corner by a lake where there's not a lot of like zombies all the time that like has a ton of like spots for places that you can build like for your camp, like all these like the small places, the big places, medium places. I was like, oh shit, this is like the biggest area I've seen so far with, and I only needed 5 people for it still, which was all I had. I was like, perfect, let's fucking go. And then like I really started enjoying the game the more when I actually like found a place to call home.
Yeah, and you'll enjoy it even more the more you play. The more you learn in that game, the more you love it. Like it is.
I bet.
You can go and like trade weapons with random vendors. The drops, I don't know if you experience too much with the drops, but if you're
a little bit
like a legacy player like me, you got free drops all throughout the game. So you get free cars, free ammo, free like cool weapons. They've added a sidearm to the game that was really sweet. Like this game really did a good job. Now, some of the bad things about this game, I will say driving's a little hectic. There's still some bugs with driving.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Yeah. So the immutable objects are really annoying. Like, you know, a random car in the middle of the road, if you have a car, you should be able to crash into it and move it.
Yes.
But in this game, unfortunately, it's an immutable object. You can't touch it. You can't, like, move it away. If it's just broken down in the middle of the road, you have to go around it. It's the only choice.
Well, and the thing that sucks about that is how much, like, every, like, maybe quarter of a mile or half a mile has a pile of 3 cars in the middle of it that you have
yep.
to swerve around.
I get it. That's likely how it would be if there was like a horrible apocalypse. People are leaving their shit. They're not going back for it.
But like you said, people would, especially if you're building.
Well,
like
people
a
would
campment.
Try to move it is the
yeah,
thing.
Exactly.
But then
they
fortunately you can't move
way.
It because it's immutable. But I think that's the Unreal Engine 4 kind of thing.
But I mean, like they already did that with like inside the base when you have like those broken down like silo things or whatever. Like
yeah.
I can't remember what it was, but like you can have your entire team like work together to break
yeah,
that
because
down
you can
and
have
get rid
it's
of it.
Your base and you're doing stuff with it, which makes sense.
But
that would have been cool
like,
if
you
they
could extend
yeah
extend that out, like extend your
which
base
be,
out to like a region, and then you could clear out cars in that region.
Which you can
kind of really
do
nice.
With the whatchamacallit's the
yeah the outpost.
Outpost, so if it reaches an outpost,
but I mean, like,
you should
if
totally
it was
be able
in within
to
like
it.
Your outpost, like, you should
yeah.
be able to clear that region of all cars and everything, too. Like, that would be
yeah,
so
and that would
cool.
be cool. And then you could get more yeah. materials that way. Like,
yeah,
that would have been a cool thing. Maybe they'll update that for State of Decay 3, and I hope they do because that would have been
yeah.
really cool and smart. Other things, like, when this game originally came out, the bugs were intense, dude. Like, you could fly up
yeah.
into the air very randomly, you could fall through a map, which I did a couple times. But the deaths in this game, oh my fucking god, they are so brutal. When you yes. get killed, I got killed by a juggernaut and it ripped me in half and I was
damn.
Like there was no
damn.
Coming back from that.
Nope.
Like,
no,
that's
no.
perfect.
Yeah, my first one was fighting a plague heart and I got just surrounded by the plague zombies and just
yeah,
like
yeah. And that's the yeah. hardest thing when you get surrounded too. You have an option to break out sometimes and like get back
yeah.
up, but the more there are, the harder it is to do that.
Yeah, it was bad.
Like that's why you need the distraction measures. You need grenades and shit
well,
to throw
I,
far.
I didn't even think about that and like I thought about that with the grenades, but also this is probably my biggest fault. I need a better way to throw grenades and aim grenades because
yeah.
it's really
it's
difficult
little...
to get through a door. Like if it's like through, cause there's sometimes where it's inside of a house and it's in like this catty corner where it's like, you can see it through the kitchen, but you have to throw it through two doorways, but it's a very rudimentary aiming system where you aim where your body's facing.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think they should have probably done a little bit better on the gun and the, throw play in this game.
The gun, at least you can kind of just like aim, but like the,
yeah.
The grenade, you just aim with your body, which like there's, I died because I threw a grenade. It bounced off the wall because it hit the corner of one of the doors
yeah.
bounce back at me, blew up at my feet and all these zombies. There's now ankle biters at me because I blew off their legs and I got surrounded. And I'm like, I killed myself. I feel like I half my health with one bad throw. Yep.
Well, and it's like, they don't really have a blast radius on a lot of the blast things. So you have no idea how big it's going to be. Now, I get it. There's a certain amount of you should know this once you start playing, like throw a grenade and see how far it goes.
I don't need a blast radius. Like, I would learn that after using it.
In a house, it's hard because you could still be super close.
Show me the arc of what the grenade is going to do. Like,
yeah.
I know it takes away a little of the realism. I know it does. But it helps me so much better. Yes.
Yeah.
It makes me enjoy the game more.
For sure. All right. Well, I don't have any more worst. Honestly, I love this game, so it's hard for me to come up with all the worst shit.
I was going to say, the only things that I wanted to point out to you that I enjoyed, I did enjoy the kind of different zombies, and especially with the different mutations and stuff that they can get. But also, one of the things that I wanted to really highlight in this, for anybody who's interested in this at all, you can customize your difficulty experience so much in this. Mm-hmm. You can turn off all the quirks. You can make certain zombies less apparent. You can make the very scary zombies not even show up at all. You can have it on the easiest difficulty. You can focus just on the story. Like, you can change the difficulty to be as easy or as hard as you want this to be. And it's really cool the widespread that you can do for this.
You know what's funny? In the original game, there were no quirks. There were no random pop-up events or anything like that.
Those suck sometimes.
Yeah, but they do. But they're actually kind of cool to have in there. And I'm just... Everything they've added since like releasing the game, I love. I think they've done a great job in making it more difficult for us to survive a zombie apocalypse, which makes sense.
The first couple of quirks I got were just like zombie ones, like, oh, they
blow up.
They blow up, or like they don't die after a headshot. They survive an extra 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Or they're more tough to melee and bullet damage, but they are weaker to car damage and they give you extra influence or something.
Yeah.
And then I got the one of them that was, there's an illness in your camp and you need medical supplies. And I didn't have like shit for medical supplies. And I had to go out and find 3 rucksacks and there was none in my area. So I had to clear out like 3 plague hearts to go to the next area to be able to find some fucking medical supplies. I'm like, you fucking horse. And I'm like, God damn, you all sick bitches. And it's so hard to do anything when everyone in your party's sick.
Yep. Yep.
I was like, dude, this is
so real.
But
it makes it fun,
dude.
Like, I'm like, oh my fucking, I gotta go. Let's go.
Like, it was so funny because it's like, I'm getting frustrated, but I'm like, I'm frustrated because it's real, but I should also appreciate it because it's real. But like, the frustrations are part of what it is. Like, you have to be okay with being frustrated a bit.
Dude, I think they killed it at this game. We'll talk about it at the end, clearly. But
yeah, let's go to the first few hours of the game.
Let's do it.
For me, I think the game is a little complicated and it did require me watching a couple. I did like look at a couple of YouTube tips and tricks videos at first, like after I first played the first couple hours, because I was like, I'm not getting something, like something's not clicking. After I watched that, I got back into the game, like knowing what to do and where to go and what things to progress with. And that really helped me. So for me, the beginning, I think, is a little rough. But I think if you especially watch like a tips or tricks video beforehand, learn a little bit, because this game has a lot to learn. I think it'll really be impactful for you.
I didn't end up doing that when I first played any of the State of Decay games.
That's
fair. You kind of just jump in, you figure it out. But I can agree, honestly. There's a big learning curve to this, especially because you're not only focusing on like killing things, you're focusing on materials, you're focusing on your other people, you're focusing on side missions, you're focusing on random calls, you're focusing on like, there's just a lot going on all at the same time. And
everything has a time limit.
Then they do a slow introduction into a lot of this stuff. Like, they won't have anyone request help for the first 30 minutes of the game or so, I believe.
Yeah.
So you can focus on gathering supplies and things, but they don't really explain a lot of how to gather supplies or where to find them. But they do have missions that kind of show you, and like, you'll get a feel for it pretty fast. I think within like an hour and a half of playing, you'll understand how to play it. But it's a slow crawl to that hour and a half. You'll feel like completely overwhelmed the entire time.
Like, they tell you, you can use your radio to like call to ask for a certain supply. They tell you can use your radio to like call to ask for a survivor. They tell you can like do those things.
It costs influence.
They also don't tell you that you can use your radio to reset your car if it's in a place where you can't move.
Like, so they didn't, that was one of the bugs. They didn't originally have that. So you had to you just basically lost your fucking car.
Yes, yes, I heard it was awful.
I can't tell you how many times in my original playthrough where I went out, I hit too many zombies. My car is pretty much exploded. And I'm like, there's no cars for like miles. I have to run home. I have no health and no ammo. And all I have is my knife now because I broke my fucking sword. So this is going to be great. Let's go. And I did it. I did it each time. And it was just, it's so funny.
All right. So let's go to the next subject then.
All right.
All right, let's go to Steve Achieves. So this game is about 12 and a half hours long and about 55 hours to 100% the game with the two DLCs. So I wanted to point out some the achievements in this game. First one, there's a lot of achievements. Almost every achievement in this game is an Easter egg of some sort or a reference to some other thing. It's actually really hilarious. If you want to just have a good laugh, just look through this achievement list. First one I was going to bring up is Friends is Magic. It's a My Little Pony reference for helping five neighbors settlements during the course of a campaign. There's the achievement Puppies and Kittens, which is a reference to the show Z Nation. It's actually the title of the first episode of the show, and it's for killing 100 zombies. We got the Road Warrior Mad Max 2 reference for killing 50 zombies with your car door, which is also a great mechanic. And we got What We Do in the Shadows. It's a self-titled reference of the Taika Waititi show, and it's for destroying a plague heart at night. We have Wax On, Wax Off, which is a Karate Kid reference for choosing a specialization in a fighting skill. We have Silent Cartographer, a Halo reference for surveying five sites from high places. Men Without Hats.
Nice. The band?
Yep, a reference to the band who sings the Safety Dance song for shooting off a helmet on a zombie's head. You have to literally make him a man without a hat. So clever. Which, speaking of music song titles as achievements, there is a huge list of them. I'm just going to list those off, not going to go over them all. But these are not all of them either. I Ran So Far Away, These Dreams, Paradise City, Welcome to the Jungle, Sorry for Party Rockin', Over the Rainbow. And one that Jen pointed out to me that I didn't see at first that was really hilarious. There's one that's Season to Dasinga. It's the Attack on Titan song. But it's like actually spelled out in the language. And I was like, oh my God, that's so hilarious. Actually. That's cool.
God, they're so fun. The studio sounds like fun people.
Yes. All right. So I'm gonna go right into the hunt for the Easter eggs with that because a lot of those references, like I said. So other Easter eggs in this, we have most of the maps. References that I'm going to be saying are on the map Providence Ridge. Most of the Easter eggs are all on that map exclusively. So if you're wanting to see these, they're on that map. There is a house in there that has an OG Xbox console in it, and it looks like a person died playing video games.
Nice.
Apparently, there was an Xbox 360 in the original State of Decay game, so they went with an OG Xbox this time. And they also had a, looks like a original Game Boy, but with Xbox buttons
weird
as a console next to it too. There's also a really fun, we were talking, Scott talked about the art a little bit earlier. There's a painting on a building that's a half penguin, half cat, basically a penguin body with a tuxedo cat with a mustache head. There's a sewer pipe in the game that has a red balloon and a paper boat outside of it, obviously referencing It. Stephen King's It. There's a floating door in the middle of a lake with one body on it and another body holding onto the edge, like Jack and Titanic. There's a couple of different Halo references besides the achievement, actually, in the game. There's a rare trait called Halo Champion, and one of the starting characters actually has it. Also, when you build the lounge in the game, you can hold a console game tourney to boost morale for an hour, and the caption is, "Anyone up for a 1v1 on Blood Gulch?" Which is awesome. It's a level on the game. And oh, and it says no pistols.
1v1. 1v1
it says anyone
suck.
Up for a 1v1 on Blood Gulch, no pistols.
Yeah.
Some zombies in the game also wear traffic cones, referencing the game Plants vs. Zombies, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
Apparently in the first State of Decay game, they actually had the dandelions as a reference to it in that one.
Nice.
Yeah, those are like I said, there's a ton of them in the game. There's
they're
more
probably
than
infinite,
I'm
honestly.
But yes, like there's so many references in this one. Like I had a problem trying to cut down which ones I wanted to talk about because there's so many good ones too. So look through that achievement list. Tell me what other ones you found in the game. I'm curious to see what everyone else found.
All right. Nice. Yeah, it's awesome. Like this game, they really fucking put a lot of love into it. You can tell.
Yeah, they really, really did. They love games. They love other things in the game. It's fun. But yeah, I guess we should get into what we think it's worth then.
So I'm just going to come out and say this game is probably not a five. It's probably not. Like, likely if you play it, you won't think it's a five. I'm going to give it a five. I loved it. This game is so fucking cool. I don't think I've ever played a zombie game where I had more fun and I put more hours into. You know, I've put like over 100 hours into both games. They're just, they're fun. They're exciting. You could do it in a mode that's like really hardcore. So it's hard to find supplies and you feel like you're fucking dying at all times. And people are calling you, begging you for help. And then say, if you don't help us, we'll fuck your kittens. Like, it's insane. It's an insane game. It's, the makers sound like such cool people too. And like everything about it, I love. I love the makers. I love the studio. I love the fucking game itself. They did an awesome job and I want to give them props. I think a five is an earned for me.
Fair. I'm not going to go as high, especially because I haven't put as much time into this, so I don't have as much invested. I know there's still a lot that I'm missing from the game. And it sucks with a game like this because I really do feel like a game that's this big, you do have to put in a full 30 hours or so before you can really give a full testament to what the game is and what it has to offer. I have never experienced Legacy Characters, even completing the whole story or anything like that, so I can't give a full rating. I'm going to give an asterisk, and I know you don't like the 0.5 system, but I'm going to do a 3.5.
You son of a bitch.
I know. I'm going to do a 3.5 because I do think this is potential to be a really solid 4 for me, but right now I'm almost leaning towards more like a 3. So I'm kind of going with right in the middle because I think this has potential to be a solid 4 game for me. Like, I don't think I'm ever going to be like as in love with it as you are to it, because I do think there's some things that still need to be ironed out a little bit. And I think it's still a big, giant game. And I feel like it's one of those games that you really should play multiplayer, like you're saying. And I just don't play multiplayer that much. So I handicap myself with it. It could be a 5 game if I played it with other people, especially if I played it with you. Probably I'd probably lose the fuck out of it.
But you would have so much fun playing it with other people. That's the big thing.
Yeah, I just need to be quit being a stickler and start doing multiplayer shit again.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
All right. Well, that was State of Decay 2.
Yes.
We hope you enjoyed that. What is our next game we are playing?
Shit.
I think it's Love on the Rocks. I don't know what that is. I'm just making up stuff. It's
Quantum Break
52.
I think we were going to be, besides our next one's going to be another Hot Takes. Besides that, our next game, I think, was going to be Lost in Random, actually, I think. We were going to go over that one.
Yeah. I love Lost in Random.
That's what it was. So,
fair.
I'm excited to see
that. All right, guys. Well, we hope you enjoyed this. It was a lot of fun for us.
Yes.
If you did, let us know. Give us a shout out. Give us a review. Give us a 5-star. Give us something. Do something. You can do that on any platform. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever you listen on. Give us a comment. Give us a review. Say something nice about us. Say something mean. Just as long as it's 5 stars, I do not care.
Yeah, actually, there's so many times TikTok's like, do you want this post to be put on there? I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Like, one guy actually made fun of me. He's like, is one of our Space Marine 2 episode, and I was really struggling reading through the script I had for a segment. And the guy's like, where'd you learn to read, a barn? And it folded the comment, and I opened it back up and put it back out. I was like, yep, I totally learned to read in the barn, and that was really terrible that day. I don't know what was fucking happening, but I sucked at reading. And he's like, it all happens to everybody. I'm like, see, I was like, it really wasn't that bad of a fucking comment, but like, it was just so funny. And I was like, yep, I mean, if I do something shitty, call me out on it. We're two podcasters. We hate it when people do shit wrong or say the wrong shit. So if we get something wrong, tell us we did something wrong. Yeah. We'll make a shout out to you, and we'll bring up that we fucked up.
We done fucked up.
We done
also send us
up.
Emails, soulofagamerpodcast at gmail.com. Reach out to us. We will reach out to you back after you reach out to us first.
Yes, we will.
Yes.
I will. I answer every message, so.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was great.
Yes. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Love you.